This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joe Gilbert, hello.
Hi, David.
And there's our studio audience welcoming you.
Thank you.
Why did you write a book and who is it about?
Well, it's about my grandfather, Jack O'Hagan, and he was one of Australia's most famous songwriters in the early 20th century. He wrote songs like Along the Road to Gundagai and Where the Dog Sits on the Duck Box and Our Don Bradman and
The Hawthorne
Football Club song and about 500 or 600 other songs.
Wow.
So very prolific. And, I loved the stories that he used to tell me about his time, you know, and especially in the St Kilda dance halls, because he wrote a lot of dance music, and which is probably why I ended up living in St Kilda. And it was fascinating story. So I started chipping away at it, and 15 years later, I've just finished.
And what was the first moment where you went, I'm gonna try and see what happens with this book? Because, you know, like, was it because you wanted to get a legacy that not enough people knew who he was?
Well, I think it was because I didn't really know what he'd done. So I was 28 when he gave me a piece of sheet music called In Dreamy Araby, and I thought, that's not an Aussie song. You know, I really just thought he wrote Australian songs. And he explained that it was written for a silent movie, The Sheik, which starred Rudolph Valentino, and that they used to put on these little tableaus before the silent movie was run. So they'd have, you know...
But in the theatre.
In the theatre.
So it'd be live, somebody singing live.
In the theatre, because...
Well, like the old organs, you know, they'd bring in the organs as well.
That's right. But the only way they could have their music heard was in the theatre. There was no radio. There was no recording industry in Australia.
Yeah.
So songs were heard in vaudeville, in pantomimes. They were interpolated in musicals that, you know, came from overseas, and they'd pop songs in here and there, and in the hope that people would go home with an earworm and rush off to Allen's in the morning and buy their sheet music and then take it home, play it around the piano.
And that's such an interesting part of it. And I've seen it in movies where people go and buy sheet music, and there's somebody in the, like, what we would call a record store now, or a music store, or an electrical store, and they're playing the music, and people would buy sheet music. They weren't buying the recording because it wasn't available.
That's right.
It's an era that's so divorced from what we're used to, isn't it? David, how would you be with, playing the piano when you go home? And
well, of course, in my younger days, I bought a lot of sheet music.
I'd go down
to whichever store it was that I was nearby at the time and buy bits and pieces, take it home and have a bit of a tinkle away. I've got so many books, albums of music that I've bought. And yet these days, of course, there's so little time to do this type of stuff. And if you look at the musos who are out and about, they don't have as much music anymore. They've got those little technical things that have displays on them, and you can scroll through. It's just amazing.
Or a lot of musicians these days, and like your grandfather as well, didn't study music and didn't really know how to write music properly. Is that true?
No, he didn't read or write music.
Well, the Beatles were like that too.
Yes, yeah. Well, a lot of people were, you know. And so Irving Berlin was one. So he
that's a shock when you hear that.
Jack used to get someone, one of the neighbours, used to come round and you know, he'd play the song and the guy would write the music. He played by ear all his life. Had extraordinary recall.
What a great skill.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And the fact is that Dad and Dave, he got very heavily involved in that. And for those that don't know, what is Dad and Dave?
Well, Dad and Dave was a radio serial that started in the late 1930s and ran through to the early 1950s. It ran for 16 years. It was the most popular radio serial in the country. It was just broadcast all over the country. And George Edwards, the producer, chose Jack's Along the Road to Gundagai as the theme for it, which brought the song back to life again because it had been written in 1922. So, you know, here it was again in 1938 being given the full run.
And here's a taste of it.
That's why I am yearning just to be returning along the road to Gundagai. There's a track winding back to an old-fashioned shack along the road to Gundagai.
How wonderful. And most Australians of a particular age would know that. David, you would know that, wouldn't you?
Most definitely, yes. Very familiar indeed.
And, you know, like, just the legacy of that song alone is quite astounding, isn't it?
Well, it's still being played 100 years later. You can't say that about too many pop songs.
No. And you know, like, what did you think, Joe, when all of a sudden the penny dropped that that was your grandfather that wrote that song?
Well, I suppose we grew up with it in the family. So,
okay.
I mean, for us, you know, we had to, you know, the kids had to stand up and sing to every family gathering. So we're all a little bit over it.
Of course you would be. And the swinging 60s and all of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we just didn't really appreciate it until, you know, I sort of realised that the story was so much bigger.
Yeah.
And you know, even then, you know, the members of the family are still getting to know the extent of what he did. So it's kind of exciting, really, to find this out about someone. He was just fun to be around because he was always on the piano, he was always singing, he was always interviewing us children in the back garden, you know, on a reel-to-reel. He was just fun to be around.
And the fact is there were so many songs. How many songs did he record did he write?
He wrote about, it's very hard to be accurate, but 500 to 600.
Wow.
Because a lot of them were, there were a lot of songs written for theatre and a lot of his songs were never recorded, especially the theatrical songs.
Yep.
Because they technically were owned by the producers.
Yeah. So, but people overseas were performing his songs as well, weren't they?
Yes, yeah. I suppose the most famous one was Richard Tauber, great Austrian tenor, who the first song he recorded in English was one of Jack's songs.
Whoa.
And that was called Mexican Serenade. It was the music was Delib, but he wrote a lyric for it, and that he also produced that under my mother's name, under a pseudonym. So
why?
Well, it was a semi-classical song.
Oh, okay.
And he was known for pop songs.
Yeah.
So he wrote under about seven different pseudonyms.
Wow.
And recorded under three different pseudonyms.
Wow.
Because he couldn't, you know, mess with his brand.
Yeah. But he would actually be, you know, like during the day because he didn't have enough to do, would be out selling the sheet music as well, wasn't he? He was a rep for sheet music.
Well, he was what they call a song plugger or a professional manager at Allen's for a decade, and his job was to sell Allen's music, not just his own music, to all the visiting producers and orchestra leaders and performers and vaudeville celebrities. So he built the most incredible network. And, of course, Allen's was his publisher, so it was perfectly within their interest for him to flog his own songs as well. So he was in a really great position.
Yeah.
And so he did that, and then, of course, he became a radio celebrity.
Yeah, I was going to say about radio. What radio station?
3AW.
Right, okay, wow.
But he worked across the board. I mean, he worked for, you know, different, you know, 3UZ, 3DB, 3LO, 3AR. He sort of was right across the board, but he was permanently employed by 3AW for about 12 years.
Right, okay. And, you know, like, there's so many tales, you know, like, And did you see that he was a larrikin? Because he was very much a larrikin, wasn't
he? Definitely. You know, and the more I learned, you know, the more I researched, the more I thought, God, he was a bit of a party boy, you know, and he was a heavy drinker. So he was an alcoholic. So, you know, but he actually ended up becoming the chairman of AA Australia.
That's hysterical. And one of the stars from America, she came out at one stage.
Yes,
who was that?
That was Lillian Roth.
Right.
And Lillian Roth was a terrible alcoholic. She had a wonderful career, and by the time she was 30, it was all over, really.
Right.
And a shocking alcoholic, and she came out to do a gig for the Tivoli, which was one of the few gigs in the world that she was able to get, and established AA Australia here.
And he was running it.
And he was the first chairman.
And but then the funny story is that when in his later life, when he was in hospital, he would get people to smuggle in alcohol for him.
Yes, he unfortunately didn't stay off the booze, but you know, we kept thinking, how is he getting? Because he'd get a bit crabby with the nurses, and we thought, what's going on here? And we found out that, you know, we had to go through his cupboards all the time and take the whiskey out. But every time Frank Van Straten or someone, Philip Brady or someone turned up, he'd ask them to bring alcohol.
Yeah. And the beautiful story is Barry Humphries as well. He was great mates with Barry Humphries, even to the extent where Barry, about 10 years ago or 5 years ago or so, took a show to the Cabaret Festival in Adelaide with all his music.
Yeah, Barry did a show called Peter and Jack, which was about Peter Dawson and Jack O'Hagan, two of Australia's musical, Peter Dawson, music recording legend and songwriter. And he, of course, recorded Jack's song Along the Road to Gundagai and had a huge hit with it. So I worked on this show with Barry and everyone else concerned, but at one point we had 90 people on stage because the band was the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra.
Whoa, because it was Barry Humphries. Yeah.
It was a terrific show.
Wow.
It was a sellout show. And, you know, we're just a one-night-only premiere. We had Teddy Tahu Rhodes and Greta Bradman. And the idea of North, a cappella band, beautiful a cappella band.
Yeah. Now mentioning Bradford, what's his name?
Our Don Bradman.
Bradman. You know, like that song is so well known. I said to a nephew, a 14-year-old nephew the other day, who's a mad cricketer, and did he know the song? And he went, yeah, I know the song. And he went and he even hummed it a little bit. So, you know, like just that alone as well.
It's iconic. Do you know it became a hit again in the, I think it was the 70s or... No, it must have been the 60s, around in the mid-60s. It became a hit again because a DJ up north promoted it.
Yeah, here's a taste of that.
Won our very highest praise. Now is it Amy Johnson or little Mickey Mouse? No, it's just a country lad who's bringing down the house, and he's our Don Bradman. Now I ask you, is he any good?
Wow, that's just brilliant, absolutely
classic,
brilliant.
Isn't
and you know, like the lyrics to the Hawthorne football song as well, which they still use to this day.
Yes.
So, you know, like this book, it's beautiful, but it's very detailed. So, congratulations
on the
brilliant effort that you did putting this book together. What's its full title?
Along the Road to Gundagai: Biography of Jack O'Hagan and Birth of Australian Pop Culture.
Yeah, because, you know, like this is true pop culture.
It is.
And sort of been forgotten, and it's so wonderful that you brought it to the Lum. How can we buy a copy of this book?
You can either buy it online at jackohagan.com.au, or you can go to Readings Avenue or Mary Martin Bookshops.
Okay. Now, we're going to go out on Where the Dog Sits on the Tucker Box, which he wrote it and then got on the phone. Will you tell the story?
Well, Jack, with the Dad and Dave radio serial, there were four characters, Dad and Dave and Mabel and Mum. And so Jack wrote a love song for Dave and Mabel and pitched it over the phone to George Edwards, the producer in Sydney. And you know, he said, quick, get up here, we'll record it straight away. And, of course, it was the quickest hit that Jack had ever had.
Wow.
Wow. The listeners, there were so many listeners.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. So, again, thank you so much for coming in today. And thank you for putting this book together, because it's important that a history like this, and as a matter of fact, it was Barry Humphreys that said on the back of the book that if he was in America, he would have been in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, yeah, it was celebrated at the Lincoln Center.
Yeah, and this is where we miss out so much here in Australia, where we don't follow through with stuff like that. Yeah. So we're going to go out.
Well, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So people go out and buy this book, because it's a piece of history, and help Eve's mum sell a million copies. A million copies. What, number one on the charts, the book charts.
Sounds like a great way to go, David.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug, David.
Our guest has been Joe Gilbert here on Sunday Arts Magazine, and this is Where the Dog Sits on the Tucker Box.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.